there was one exhibit that we knew the government was going to use over and over and over and over again. And that was an internal messaging chat between our client, Mark Faulkner, and another technical pilot in his group. And you may have heard about this chat. Again, it was in the news, it was disclosed. And Mark had just been in the simulator, which you see a picture of it. It's a simulator of the actual plane. It's not the plane, but it's supposed to simulate the plane. And he was talking to his coworker. He was in a hotel room. He talked about he's drinking Grey Goose. And while he was in the simulator, he says in 6:50 p.m., Mark Faulkner, "Oh, shocker alert, MCAS is now active down to Mach 2. That's the lower speed. That's the change. It's running rampant in the sim on me. At least that's what Vince thinks is happening." Vince was another engineer who said that that's why the simulator is acting this way, because they changed MCAS now to lower speed. And his colleague responds back to him, "Well, they don't ever tell, how did they never tell us any of this stuff? We never know anything," kind of thing. And Mark Faulkner then responds, "So I basically lied to the regulators unknowingly." Okay, and the government, we'll hear from Corey, thank you, Corey, but they use this to say, at this point, Mark knew. Before now, he didn't. It had changed months before then. This was a November chat. But at this point forward, he knew, and he said nothing about this lower speed to Boeing AEG. FAA AEG.
You know that Monty Python movie where like the rabbit comes out and kills everybody and King Arthur says, "Run away, run away." So this is that moment in trial where this, this chat is shown to every witness and we feel like, run away, run away, because it's an important piece of evidence for the government.
Right, and for context purposes, at this point in the certification process, the plane had already received this sort of provisional stamp of approval, little training required. And so the theory was, he already got what he needed, our client. He learns about this change. He didn't want to jeopardize the stamp of approval from FAA, so he withheld that information and didn't tell them, and they certified the plane without knowing it. Okay. Go ahead.
That was piece of evidence number one.
The second piece of evidence that the government had was a phone call that our client purportedly made after this chat to another senior engineer in Boeing asking, had MCAS changed? And this senior engineer was brought to trial and testified that this phone call, which was, what, 5 years ago, 6 years ago, happened. He recalls it. He recalls telling our client that, yes, it had changed. And that was sort of evidence number two, that Mark knew. Mark knew that this changed and he did not say anything. The thing about the phone call, though, there was no record of it whatsoever. The phone records did not show it. There were no notes of the call. There was no emails of the call. There was no other corroborating witness, just this one senior engineer at Boeing that says he remembers this call 5 years ago. Now.
So we have to deal with this evidence.
Can we talk about how you dealt with it right here, or do we have another place?
No, we don't have another place.
Okay, so David brilliantly had this witness. And again, the support for this phone call was just this senior engineer's memory of the call. Not to mention, he kind of remembered it right before he went into the grand jury where he was, you know, also potentially a target. But as David went through to question him and cross-examine him, he asked him with an easel and a marker, "Okay, so you're an executive. How much money did you make in 2014? And in front of a jury of Fort Worth citizens, normal, down-to-earth people, he said he could not remember how much money he made. But it was over $1 million pretty much every year. That did not sit well with the jury, that he could not remember his salary which was a very high salary to the folks sitting in the jury box, but he could remember the details specifically of a call that took place 5 years ago. And you could see the reaction on the jurors' faces, like they were just kind of disgusted that this was kind of the company man who made all this money and is just remembering this one phone call with no corroboration.
Okay, so how did we deal with this evidence?
That's still me?
That's still you.
Oh. Yeah. All right, so we've got the text, we've got the phone call, we've got the fact that, you know, he's supposed to know, right? Because that's his job, to know about the changes. One, he's not an engineer or a designer. And we had several pieces of evidence and several, a history or a pattern of him not knowing things that changed about this plane. And in fact, one of the biggest pieces of evidence we had is that the FAA's own witness, we had an email of her saying, I know more about this plane than Mark does. He's not in the loop. And so we had a pattern of showing that it's not uncommon for him to not know about changes or things about the plane. He also received documents that were official engineering documents that even after the change still had the old specs about the plane, saying that it hadn't changed. Documents that he was supposed to rely on in his job. The chat we put into context was, it wasn't about the actual plane doing that. He didn't think that the plane would do that. He thought there was a problem in the simulator, that there was a coding error, that it was acting crazy within the simulator, and that it needed to be changed, the simulator code. All right, thank you.
Hold on.